Our Old Testament reading comes from the time when King Uzziah died. It was that same year that Isaiah has this vision. And this is an important association that Isaiah wants us to make. We learn from 2 Chronicles that King Uzziah became king when he was 16 years old. What could go wrong with that? He was generally a good king. He refortified the walls and the watchtowers. He loved agriculture. He loved growing food. But his downfall was when he entered the temple and he started to take on the duties of a high priest. He enters the Holy of Holies in the temple and starts to burn incense as an offering sacrifice to God. 80 priests rush in to the Holy of Holies to try to grab him and pull him out. And because he's not receptive to being pulled out of the Holy of Holies, God strikes him with leprosy right on the forehead. Now, with this leprosy that remains for the rest of his life, not only is he not supposed to enter the Holy of Holies, he can't even enter the temple courts because he's now ritually unclean with leprosy. Isaiah's vision is in the same temple. That veil between God and Isaiah is lifted momentarily. God is always there reigning, but now Isaiah has a vision of the Lord, high and lifted up. All he can see is just the hem of God's robe filling the temple. That's how magnificent and mighty and large God loomed over the temple. Solomon, in his dedication of the temple, said that heaven and earth cannot contain you, let alone this house that I have built. He sees those mysterious creatures, the seraphim, with three sets of wings. And one pair of wings' sole purpose is to protect the eyesight from the blinding light of Christ, which is brighter than the midday sun. And they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of armies, heaven and earth are filled with your glory." We'll be singing that same song of angels as we approach the altar this morning, when we sing what we call the Sanctus, the holy, holy, holy. Holy means unique. Holy means special, sacred. It means technically set apart for a holy use, for a sacred use. And so we have God's name and his being as set apart for us. Holy, holy, holy is three times because the holiness of God transcends our human understanding. We have no capacity to fully understand this triune God and his holiness. Holy reminds us, too, of our lack of holiness in our own experience, just as it did for Isaiah. Isaiah realizes that he is undone when he sees God in all of his glory. He says, "I am, woe is me, oy, woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." No one is supposed to experience the full presence of God and live to tell about it. We have many examples in Scripture. You'll remember Adam and Eve themselves, when they heard God walking in the garden, they ran and hid because they figured that God was perhaps going to punish them for eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But when God finds them, He promises them the Son, who will crush the serpent's head, a foretaste of the gospel to come. You'll remember Jacob when he sees the ladder going up to heaven, that he wrestles with God through the night. God dislocates his hip. And then Jacob says, he calls this place the face of God, and he says, I have seen the face of God, and yet my life has been spared. You'll remember Moses, who wanted to see God in his glory. He puts Moses into the cleft of a rock, and God passes by. He says, you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. And so that's why Isaiah speaks about his own demise, his own unraveling before the almighty presence of God, and confesses his sin. We have also failed, along with Isaiah and the people of his day, with our lips, to please him by our words. God says in Isaiah chapter 29 that my people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So with our lips and with our hearts, of course, we too have fallen short of the glory of God. This Holy Trinity Sunday, you and I still cannot fully grasp or understand God in his infinite mercy as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons, and yet mysteriously one true and living God. But what it does reveal too is our failure, right? And our falling short of God, and our lack of holiness and perfection. Like Isaiah, we also carry this unworthiness in our lives. For Isaiah, he felt it most pointedly on his lips, knowing that his words would often transgress God's law and word, together with the people of God. And so we began the service too, confessing our sins. We confess that we are in bondage to sin, and we cannot free ourselves. That we've sinned in thought, in word, and deed. And that we've also sinned by what we have done and by what we have left undone. There may be a particular area, like for Isaiah, for you, where you feel your sinfulness or your brokenness most pointedly. Maybe it is on your lips, or maybe it's in our minds, or maybe it's in the past of what we have done or what we are thinking about doing. It reminds us of our own brokenness, our frailty and mortality, that we too can unravel before the holiness of God. But that's not where God wants us to remain. When he lifts that veil between us, God is always there, always present. And so when we see our sin pointedly in our lives, that's not where he wants us to pitch our tent. King Uzziah, when he sins, God strikes him with leprosy right on his forehead, right in the place in his mind where he was swelling with pride, his head growing bigger about himself. And so it's fitting that God would answer Isaiah's faithful confession of sin right where he needed it. He smacked him with forgiveness right on the lips. He takes a burning coal from the altar and brings it to him and says, your sin and your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out. And a burning coal would not just remove the sin, but purify the lips of Isaiah so that he could speak the word of God faithfully. And so God sends his forgiveness to our lives right where we need it the most. Wherever we confess it, whether it's individually or corporately, God takes those tongs, and with the body and blood, and with the bread and the wine, he brings it to our lips and our mouths, as Jesus promises that this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Our sins are blotted out. Our sin is purified by that same altar. Just as Isaiah now is ready to hear God's call, whom shall we send? Who will go for us? Now he is ready. Now he is filled with the promise of forgiveness and joy. And so now he can say, here am I. Send me. And so we are also sent as God's people to proclaim the good news of the reign of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons, holy, holy, holy. Lord God of Sabaoth, God of armies, heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Glory to God in the highest. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.